This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out with you on a beautiful Saturday morning in the studios with us. Going to be talking Wahpeton boys and girls basketball. Of course, Breckenridge has a game to play today. We'll talk to head coach Jordan Christensen. But first, to start every Saturday morning, we start with our guy, Jeff Ralph, coming off a big win yesterday against Fargo Horse, West Fargo Horse, a 68-62 win for his team. How are you doing this morning, coach?
Very well, Andrew. It's, you know what? Getting a win makes you feel better when you wake up the next morning.
I understand that. I was telling Mike beforehand, I said, can you believe that the Breck Wahpeton game was a week ago? Because it feels like it was a year ago. It feels like this week really went a long time. So anyway, so you guys had pretty good week. West Fargo, a tough 89-81 loss, a win last night. So two wins in the last three games. I feel like that's, you know, pretty good to come in on a Saturday morning on.
Well, you know, when you look back and, you know, ifs and buts or candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas, right?
Right.
Go back to Fargo South, we got a lead with 8 minutes to go. Go back to Fargo North, we got a six-point lead. End up losing in overtime. I mean, we could have made some movement in the standings, you know, and then a win Tuesday. You know, we were up six with 6 minutes to go. And I thought we played really well at West Fargo. We had a horrendous start to the game, down 14-2. You know, then we battle her back and get it down to three at half, and I thought defended and rebounded decently. I mean, you give up 89 points, maybe you didn't play very good defense, but I thought we were okay in stretches, and we rebounded the basketball. And then, you know, when it came crunch time, we didn't rebound a couple free throws, and you know, then they get an extra possession, and then maybe hit a three or whatever. And but our kids just battled back. You know, when you're down 14-2, you're going to go load the bus and just go? Or, what are you going to do? And I really thought we battled back. And you know, we made some runs in the game. And I think we really put some pressure on them. And I think the message from AP to his kids at halftime was, we got to be more physical. And, you know, that's not really our game. But I thought we handled it really well. You know, we try to run Caden Hockert off some screens, and
I was going to say, you got to tell Hockert and Cluden that you're not a physical team, because I think they disagree.
Yeah, well, I thought Cluden did a nice job up there, but you know, when Caden's trying to run off a screen and the guy's down in a 2-point stance blocking him from running off a screen, you know, well, then he shoved him down, I guess, and got away with it. But it was really physical, and I think our kids were okay with that. I think we responded to that. And that's something we said we have to be ready for. Instead of getting knocked down and then, okay, it's going to be physical, well, we got to knock somebody down once, I think. And I really thought we responded to that well. And, you know, it sure helps when we hit some threes. You know, Caden Hockert had 30 points up there, hit five threes, 5 of 10 from the three-point line. 30 points. Ethan had a double-double, 20 points, 16 rebounds. Just did a great job inside, finishing around the basket. And then Caden Kappas had 10 with 7 assists, and just another good night. And good for Caden to see the ball go in the hoop. You know,
yeah.
Give him some confidence and feel good about it. Jaden King had 8 with 5 rebounds. And then we had Joseph Gomez, Braden. You know, Braden had a heck of a game on Saturday night against Breck. Had 13 of his 15, or maybe it was all 15, I can't remember, of his points in the first half. Well, he's sick on Tuesday, you know. So now we got, you know, we went to JD, and Joseph came in, had 7 points, had 3 rebounds and assists, really played well. I think gave us a bit of a dribble penetration score. You know, a guy that can get by and sneak around and pivot and shoot it with the left hand. He's
I'll
a lefty.
Tell you got these young guys, coach, that I watch them in the JV game and I go, okay, in 2-3 years, maybe they'll turn into something. And then now this year, between Malik and Stephens, you got another one that you're like, I feel pretty confident with putting the ball in his hands.
I do. I like those three. And, you know, the thing is, there's not enough minutes in the game to play all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Caden and Caden are playing a vast majority of those guard minutes. And then, you know, Riley's getting some of those minutes. And then you throw Trey and Braden and JD. And, you know, Joseph has been amazing in the JV game. I mean, I think he's probably averaging 22, 23 points a game over the last five. And that's against our best competition. I mean, he's really playing well. He puts the ball in the hoop, makes his free throws. He can take contact and score. And we saw that. And I think they got a little wake-up call, you know, from AP in the locker room, too. The Packers did about this little number three coming in and scoring on us and what's going on. And because they kind of clamped down on him in the second half. But I feel good about him being in the game. You know, he played a little bit against Davies that night and played well. And, you know, I feel like our guards are pretty solid and they're young. Mm-hmm. You know, with our three seniors, Caden and Riley. But I still feel like we got some kids that can come in and do some different things. You know, JD's good getting to the rim. You know, he's 5'9 or 5'10 on the roster. I don't know if that's exactly true, but
in the shoes are 5'10. Yeah.
And then, you know, Braden with his pull up jumper. I mean, that's just it's a knockdown shot. So
it's automatic.
Yeah, and then, you know, Trey is just, when Trey's locked in, like last night, Trey was locked in. He was really good defensively, can get to the rim, and just does a lot of things that his athleticism allow him to do. So I feel really good about those kids and really pleased with how they've been playing.
So I think the only thing on the wish list for the younger group is a little bit of size and then a little bit of three-point shooting, and you'd have your perfect Christmas.
Well, you know, if they weren't all 5'8", that would be really nice. You know, I keep thinking, or looking at them, thinking there's going to be somebody else will shoot up here. But you know, they play bigger than what they are. I think they have some heart. And you know, they want to win. They want to play well. And they want to help these seniors, you know, finish out their final season. So I think that's a credit to them, too. They're sticking to their guns, doing what they're supposed to do in practice. You know, JD doesn't make it easy on Caden in practice, and that's what they're supposed to do. So
let's talk about last night's win, a 68-62 win against Horace. Now, this is a team you beat earlier in the season to start the season. We're at the midway point. Do you feel better or worse? I mean, I understand a win's a win, but do you feel better after this one than the first one?
Well, you know, it was a totally different style game. They full court zone pressed us the first time. We ran our press breaker and shot layups, and, you know, we kept thinking they got to take the press off, and they just never did. And, you know, we scored 96 the first night, and you got to feel good. I mean, you scored 96 points, and really, I think we shot over 50% in the game, and I mean, it was just one of those things when you start out the season. It's kind of like a game you like to have, get everybody going. And but I thought last night we rebounded the ball so well, and I think that's going to be a story for the whole year for us, you know, the rest of the year for us. If we continue to rebound, you know, we're pretty good. When we don't rebound and they get to shoot it two or three times and end up scoring and we foul, you know, I mean, and you didn't see that last night. I thought we just dominated the glass. You know, Trey had five offensive rebounds last night. So just a good defensive effort, a good effort on the boards. And, you know, we've seen Jaden, we've seen Ethan get a rebound and take off. And that's something I really feel like is a good thing for us. We had one play last night. We had a 3-on-2, and we just went too far and ended up getting a charge or whatever. But if we'd have pulled up at the free throw line like we teach them, we would have had a 3-on-2. And but I love to see those guys just take off and go. And I think that puts pressure on the defense and gives us a good chance to score.
I like the aggressiveness, too, and having those big men that can dribble the basketball. You know, I think that's something that we've seen really change over the last, like, let's say 10, 15 years, where your big man now can, like, kind of lead the press, you know, or lead the fast break.
Right. And, you know, we had a kid about 10 years ago, Zane Medhog, who we loved to see do that. He'd get a rebound and take off, take about three dribbles and five strides and be down at the other end at the rim. And then he had some kids he could kick it out to that could shoot it too. But that's a piece that good teams have, and we feel like we have it. We would much rather have Ethan get the rebound and go and just put some pressure on the D. Maybe we get an easy bucket out of that, and I think Jaden can do the same thing there. You know, it's just a matter of some transition stuff where you get an easy bucket once in a while. And I thought we got a couple of easy ones last night.
We got a big week coming up. Go to Valley City and then host Shanley. How do you feel about this kind of we're moving into the I don't know, the crunch time of the season, I would say.
Well, we're flipping over now at Valley. You know, it's one of those games where they haven't won yet, so you don't want to be that team that gives them their first win. We're going to have to play well. They played well against North. I think it was about a six-point game with 2 minutes to go in the first half, and it was 22 at half. I mean, they turned it over, and North scored. And, I mean, Jeremiah Sem, if he throws it at the basket and hits a rim, somehow the ball crawls in. I mean, he's just that kind of a player. And we saw some of that in that game when I watched the film. So, you know, just to go over there and be solid. If we rebound the basketball and are solid, we'll be just fine there. And I think Shanley, you know, Shanley's a team that is, since they beat us, you know, about 5-6 games ago, they haven't lost yet. So, you know, their team I thought we would beat when we played them the first time, and we didn't rebound that night. So I think a big week for us in that, you know, we can string two together. You know, we got a streak going, possibly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Shanley coming here on Friday is going to be a game that could be a one of those matchups maybe in the play-in game. I mean, there's only four teams not going to be a play-in game. So that could be one of those, you know, possible matchups depending upon where they land and where we land. I'd love to see us get up to eight and be able to host that 8-9 game. But, you know, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to string some together.
Sounds like a plan. Head coach of the Wahpeton boys basketball team, Jeff Routh. Thanks for stopping in this morning.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW. More Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Good morning. Andrew Zimmel in studio with you, and time to talk about one of my favorite events to start the year. It's coming up on February 3rd. It's the Richland Renegade Tom's Honey Heritage Wildlife Banquet, and we have a friend coming in talking to us about it. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
I am I'm excited. We did this last year with you guys, and again, like you talked, we've talked a little bit off the air. This is an event that gets a lot of people to show up.
Yeah, we're expecting 125, 130 people, and going to be a lot of fun. As you know, the NWTS started in 1973 in Edgefield, South Carolina, and it was to conserve the wild turkey because they were kind of diminishing. There was only down to 1 million in the whole United States. Now there's about 7 million. But also part of their heritage and stuff is to save the heritage, save the hunt. You know, try to save the land for our kids to be able to hunt and fish on and stuff. So they push conservation. They like to say they're the cornerstone of conservation. And it should be a good time.
I always think that's really cool because you talk to a lot of hunters, and I think the idea that somebody who isn't part of that lifestyle, isn't part of that community, somebody that doesn't hunt, you think, well, you know, Jim Bob's just going out there to shoot a deer and he's just trying to kill Bammy's mom. But that's not what it is. You know what I mean? It is very much about the conservation of the land, the conservation of the wildlife.
Yeah, when we have to save that land, like I said, for our future ancestors to be able to get out there and have a place to hunt, you know. This is our 16th year in Richland County, and we really believe in the mission. We co-partner with the Red River Sportsman's Club on quite a few different things, the fishing derbies, where we donate prizes, time, energy, and some funds. And we just helped sponsor in September a youth pheasant hunt at Chuck House Farm. I think we had 15 kids. They harvested some pheasants, and the Sportsman's Club has a couple of mentors that show them how to clean the birds. It's a very well-organized hunt. They also have a women's hunt coming up. It's next fall. Abby Carlson is in charge of that. We have the Hike Camp Fishing Derby coming up mm-hmm. in February where we donate prizes of time and energy and stuff like that to that. And also in the fall or Christmas time, we donate smoked chickens every year we have for the last 12 years to the Richland Wilkin Food Pantry at a time where someone might like a nice smoked chicken from the Sundale Colonies. They're really good. So we try to stay involved, and like I said, you got to give the Red Deer Area Sportsman's Club, our co-partner in a lot of these events. They do a good job. They do a lot of stuff with the youth, and that's, I really believe in that mission, keeping the youth outdoors with hunting, fishing, just enjoying the wildlife. Get them off the computers. Get them off the cell phones. Just, there's a lot of nice things out there. Get out there and enjoy it.
Get back into nature. Now, this banquet, is this a chance, too, for people to join the group?
Yep.
Is this like a, okay, tell me about that.
Well, they can join that night, and once you buy a ticket for the event, you are a member. And the NWTF is like any organization. You have more members, the more voice you have, whether it's conservation or a bill that's in the Senate or whatever, the bigger the group, the more people you have as a group, you have more voice.
More power, too, yeah.
More power. I mean, and it's, I think NWTF, they've conserved, many, many million acres. I think it's 4 million acres since 2012. They had an initiative, Save the Heritage, Save the Hunt, and they surpassed 1.5 million new hunters in 10 years. They've enhanced 4 million acres. They've got 600,000 acres opened up to public access for hunting. So they've met their goals and exceeded a lot of their goals 2 years ahead of schedule. So if you got time Friday night, come on out. You can go on the website, nwtf.org, get your tickets. We encourage that so we know how many people we're going to feed.
Yep.
Hills 210, Sherry does a good job. She's doing the food. The bar, Antelope Creek out of Morton, has our libations. And Don Rizak is going to be our auctioneer again for, I think, the fifth year in a row. So I think we've got a good squad.
No
a lot
kidding.
Of prizes.
What can you tell me about some of those prizes?
Oh, we've got like 20 firearms, big frig coolers, women in the outdoors table. We have a Jake's table. Juniors acquiring knowledge, education, and sportsmanship for five-year-olds up to 17. And we also have two, a gun, a shotgun, and a rifle for anyone that's 16 to 17. We have two prizes there. We have three meat raffles. We have a couple gun raffles. We have a board for a couple guns. We have also have a new thing we started last year, pull tabs.
Ooh.
So if you want to do a little bit of gambling, you know, a buck a ticket, 20 bucks for 25, and we have two or three guns and some prizes on that game too. So it's kind of like a miniature casino.
This sounds like a fun time. That's happening February 3rd at the Morton City Center, the Richland Renegade Tom's Hunting Heritage Wildlife Banquet. That's what we're talking about right now. All right, I need to talk to you about how you did hunting this past season, though. Did you have any good hunts?
We went out. I didn't get any pheasants. We had to put our dog down a couple years ago. I didn't think dogs could get cancer, but they do, but that was pretty sad, so we haven't got a replacement. But my son and I and my friend Leroy and a couple other guys, we got lucky enough to get doe tags in western North Dakota. So I did get my first muley.
Ooh, okay.
Muley doe, and they're big, and they run fast. They hop a little bit, but they're fun to hunt. We had some nice land to hunt on. We went 4 for 4 the first day.
Wow, look at you guys.
So, and I got out turkey hunting a couple times. I didn't harvest one, but it was fun seeing nature and sitting out there and trying to call them in, and I'm not the best caller in the world, but I've been to Edgefield, South Carolina, and Nashville, where they had the national convention. And you should hear those guys call turkeys.
Oh.
Oh, man, they got the mouthpieces, and they sound just like a turkey.
I could not imagine a whole convention center with guys sounding like turkeys. I think that'd be pretty crazy.
3 years ago, NWTF gave us about 20 box calls. We give them to the youth. And you should have heard the Morton Community Center. We had about 15 box calls going all night, and I'm sure the parents got kind of irritated. But kids are having fun, and that's what it's all about. We got a game in the corner for prizes for the kids. It'd be some bean bags, And every kid wins something, whether it's a BB gun, a T-shirt, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool, too, that, you know, we talk about, all right, this is a, you know, it's for conservation, it's for the hunt, preserve the heritage and the hunt, but also this is an event that you could bring your kids to if you need to, right, or if you want to.
Yep. $15 for Jake's can get in. Like I said, 5 years old to 17. We got a game to entertain them for the different prizes, and we'll have, like I said, meat raffles. I think there's five games, dice, plinko. Shot shell game is very, very fun. There's two guns on that. Women in the Outdoors, we've got quite a few prizes on that, plus a couple guns. And there's something for everybody, and it's just a nice family night to come out in Morton. Doors open at 5:30, supper at 6:30, and we're out of there by 10, 10:30, you're out of there, so...
Sounds like an event that we got to go to. That's happening February 3rd, the Richland Renegade Toms Hunting Heritage Wildlife Banquet. Thanks so much for coming in, man.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the outdoors, everybody.
Of course. So hopefully when it warms up a little bit more, I'll do a little bit more of it. You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW. Coming up after the break, talking to head coach of the Lady Huskies, Brian Watson.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Good morning. Andrew Zimmel in studio with you. Nice sunny morning right now. We'll see how warm we can get it up today. Can we get it back to 0 degrees? Let's fingers crossed we can. In studio with me right now is the Wabity Lady Huskies head coach, Brian Watson, talking to me about a win against West Fargo Horse last night, a 10-point win where McKenna Kumbo had, would you call it a career night? Would you call it a season high night, 36 points?
That's a career night for her. I mean, that's a career night for anybody.
Congratulations to her and congratulations to you on the win.
Yeah, it's a good win. You know, Kenna had a good night, but I think as a team here, the last couple games after Breck, we haven't really played very well. I don't know what it is, whether it's just a hangover from winning that game and, you know, all the excitement that goes along with winning that game. And then when we get back to the EDC, we've had a couple nights where we just, as a group, as a whole, we haven't played a complete basketball game.
Mm. And we talk about the West Fargo loss on Tuesday night, a 71-57 loss. But that game was a lot closer than the final score, I think, indicates. Because we did that game on KBMW, and my takeaway was, you know, that was a game that you don't want to say could have won, but, you know, maybe should have won. One of those, like, you know, you were in the game the whole time, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I think if you look at the score, you'd be like, oh, did you see they got hammered? But really, we were in that game for the majority of it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we were kind of sleepwalking through that game. We had 20 turnovers, and they got 22 points off of those turnovers. So, I mean, you take that away, and I'm not even asking to take all of it away. But the turnovers that we had, they were just catastrophic. I mean, you know, we would turn it over, they'd go down and get a layup. You know, there would be times where we would just throw the ball away. Like, it's different when they take the ball away from you. I'm okay with that, okay? But when we throw it away in transition or we don't meet our pass and then they knife in and take it and go down and get a layup, those are all things that we have control of, okay? Mm-hmm. And if we don't fix that, if we're not doing the proper things in order to complete a pass or prevent a turnover, then it's going to be a rough night, and that's a good basketball team. But if we take care of it, we're in that game and we give ourselves an opportunity, and that's all that I'm asking for. I'm not saying I'd like to win every game, don't get me wrong, but against really good teams, and every game too, you want to give yourself an opportunity to win. But when you're giving up 22 points off turnovers, you're not giving yourself that opportunity. Yeah. So I just felt like we could have played a lot better in that game.
Unforced errors too. That's kind of what I think about when you throw the ball out of bounds in transition. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you just take another beat to get the ball to the player, you're set.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, it's unforced stuff. It's stuff that, you know, we're in transition, girl's wide open, you know, I lead her a little bit, maybe girl doesn't run, you know, again, meeting your pass, all mm-hmm. those things that you have control over. And for us, we've got to fix that. Because if we go into that game and we play not near perfect but better basketball.
10 turnovers to 20.
I would love to have 10 turnovers in that game. I'll take 10 turnovers a game if they're good, you know. You know, John Wooden says you need to be under 12 to be successful. So that's what our goal is, to be 12 or less in turnovers. So if we have 10, I feel like we give ourselves a really good opportunity against a good basketball team.
Well, I think you guys are a good basketball team. It proved it last night against West Fargo Horse, 79-69 win. And I want to talk about McKenna Kumo this season because, you know, you losing Lydia Model in the offseason, transferring, going to a different school, I think a lot of the point guard duties kind of rested on Kumo's shoulders. And, you know, before the season, I kind of was thinking about that, like who's going to be the secondary ball handler, and I think that she's done a really good job. I was a little concerned what that would look like as the primary ball handler, letting her, you know, have the ball every single time up the court. But between Max and Hallie Miller and Kumo, I think you have a pretty good group of guards that can handle the ball.
Well, without Lydia, we've tried some different things at point guard, and the only thing that's stuck right now is having Kenna play point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some girls who can do it in spurts, and they certainly need to because Kenna has a tendency to get in foul trouble. But, you know, when she's off the floor, so, you know, now it's got to be Amaya or it's got to be Hallie. But we're kind of leaning towards, you know, Kenna just running it. And she's done it in the past. She did it when she was younger, when she first came up to varsity. She had to play some point guard. And there was a year in there where we just kind of needed her to do it. Is it the best thing for us? Maybe in the past it wasn't early in the season, but right now it's the best thing for us because mm-hmm. it's what's working. And I think for her, she's kind of settling into the role and understanding what it is. You know, she's a scorer. She can be a scorer. Proved that last night. But there's times where, as a point guard, you're not a scorer. You've got to understand what's going on, where the mismatches are, try and find them, and then take advantage of them. Last night, the mismatch was on her, and we took advantage of it. So she's learning the position as we go. Even though she's a senior, she's played it. It's still a learning experience. Every game's going to be different. They're not going to be the same. And if we can get this thing figured out and understand what the roles are, I think we're going to be a better basketball team here as we go through the second half of the season.
Where do you think you are in that process?
Where are we?
Yeah, like of finding out the roles, of everybody kind of figuring out where they are.
We're in the middle of it. I mean, we're in the middle of the season here, and we're still shuffling people around, understanding who does what, and we're better at it. I mean, if you watch some of our games, we're starting to shoot the ball better, and that's coming from understanding, hey, we need to run the offense, and when we run the offense, we get this. And now we need to be able to execute the offense. We're running the offense, like at least last night for part of the game, we ran the offense. Mm-hmm. We didn't really execute it. You know, we get it to one person, and they go, oh, it's my turn to go. Well, not really. You have to read what the options are. Or I'm open. I'm going to shoot it. Well, what are the options after you shooting it? You know, what's a better shot? A wide open 3-point shot. Early in the game, yeah, that's a good shot. But later in the game, that same shot might not be good. So it's just a matter of trying to execute the offense and end up with the best option that's going to give you a good look to score.
Yeah,
and put the defense on their heels because there's times where I can get a shot early. All right, fine. But now later in the game with a 5-point lead, I need to run the offense. That early shot is not good anymore. Make them play defense. Get them a little bit tired. See if we can get a better shot. And now when we miss, we're in position to rebound. We're not going to have them get the rebound and go down and score and then cut our lead down. We had that happen a couple times in this game last night where we had a little bit of a lead. We come down, we shoot one early, we miss, they go down and get a layup. Come down, do the exact same thing, we miss, they go down and get a layup. Now the score's tied. You know, I mean, we have to understand that and understand time and score and what it means to value the basketball and value the possession.
And you mentioned something, sometimes in a wide open three early in the shot clock. Sometimes there's a reason you're wide open. You know?
Right, there's a reason for it. You know, sometimes we think those are good in transition. You know, it is what it is. But we're a better 3-point shooting team when we go through the offense and we get them off of a kick or we get them off of an inside out. And it's proven we're shooting the ball way better than we did early in the season. We were atrocious from behind 3-point line the first couple of games. Now we're starting to shoot 30%, 40%. We had a game up around 50% from behind the 3-point line. That's because we're getting better shots within the offense.
And that's something that we saw early in the season. And I, to my fault, am a reactionary. And I was like, uh-oh. Lady Huskies can't shoot. What are we going to do? But you told me, hey, calm down. We'll get better. And you did.
Well, I think a lot of people are finding out that it wasn't something that we needed to really be concerned about. So, because there are some teams who have said, well, we're just going to play zone. We're going to pack it in. and we're going to let them shoot, well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Because we, like I said, we understand we're not rushing those shots. We're shooting them with confidence. It's just a process. And right now, we're a better shooting team than we were earlier in the season, and hopefully we continue to get better. If teams want to play zone, we'll make some shots.
Yeah, we're going to make them pay for it. Now, last season, I think that Emma Bonches did a really good job shooting threes, and then coming into this season, I think she's kind of picked up right where she left off. What do you think?
Well, she certainly had a good game from behind the three-point line against West Fargo. Uh-huh. She knocked down five in that game. And she's one, when she's open and has time, she can make them. I think early in the season, I think there's a lot of excitement after last season. You know, we have a great season. You want to get started, and you know, you did some things last season that you think you can continue to do, but you're just in a hurry to do them. You know, and I think when we rush our shots, we don't get our feet set, or we think we should make all of them. We struggle, you know, and Emma made one from behind three-point line last night. That's coming off West Fargo making five. I think last night after she made that first one, she's like, okay, here we go again. And then she missed a couple. And then it's like, well, why can't I make them? Mm-hmm. It's just a process. You have to just take your time and understand that you're not going to make all of them, but you've got to be consistent with your shot. Each time that you shoot it, try and make it the same every single time. Get your feet set. Get your hands ready and not rush your shot. And when we do that, we make a better percentage. But she's certainly one that can make some open shots. And last night, late in the game, you know, McKenna, like I said, we had some mismatches on her. We were able to put her in the post and we were able to let her go one-on-one a little bit. But as far as understanding the offense and running the offense and executing it, late in the game, We had two possessions where we needed a bucket, okay? It was kind of going back and forth. And McKenna went one-on-one. We went one for a low for her like we typically do. And instead of her getting in there and kind of getting tied up and trying to snake it up and draw a foul like she does sometimes, she kicked it out twice in a row, and we knocked out two threes. Latea hit one, and Amaya hit one. And those were huge, huge baskets. And the reason why those girls were open and they're able to make those shots is because we executed the offense. We didn't just run it or Kenna went in there and just kind of threw it up. Oh, yep, we ran it. We got a shot. We didn't get the shot that we needed, okay? So that's the progress that we're having. And if we can continue to understand that, we're going to be a better basketball team. We're going to be a better shooting basketball team. And I think that's going to help us on the offensive end. But we have work to do on the defensive side of the ball.
It shows trust, too, that you can trust your teammate to, okay, I know I can get it out there and they're going to take a good shot.
I think that's a lot of it. It's not just Kenna trusting that she can pass the ball and someone can make it. It's also those girls who are on the perimeter that, hey, you know what, she's going to pass me the ball and I've got to be ready to mm-hmm. make it. So there's some of that. And I think as we're going along the season here, I think that some of that trust is starting to grow. It's got to get better for sure. But I feel like we're moving in the right direction. Even though we played poorly last night, we won the game. Okay, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. But we can't come out of that game and say, oh, we're good. You know, we got to come out of that game and learn from it. There's so much to learn from that game last night. And I think for us as a team, I hope at least that we're starting to see the things that we need to improve on, the things that we need to learn on. We can't just be so concerned with, hey, we won the game, that's all that we needed to do. No, we've got to get better. And it's everyone. Everyone's got to walk away from the game and say, I need to improve in this area. I need to do this better. And not worry about the person that's next to you. If everybody takes care of themselves and what we need to do or what they need to do, then the whole team will get better. If you're walking around saying, well, she needs to get better at this and she needs to get better at this and, you know, whatever, and then we'll get better. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's like, I need to improve in this. And if you take care of yourself, you hold yourself accountable for what's going on and what you've done in the game, we'll be a better basketball team.
Let's wrap it up talking about the accountability on defense, because I know that you wanted to talk about that. Let's talk about the progress report. Where are we?
Well, I'm a basketball coach, and I guess maybe I'm never happy people say that, because they'll say, well, you won the game last night and you scored almost 80 points. Yeah, well, we gave up 70. We can't do that. You know, and if we can get the mindset that we need to close out hard, we need to be in guarding position, in the right distance, close enough to shake hands every single possession. I need to hustle after every single rebound. I need to put a body on someone every single time a shot goes up. We can be a better defensive team. And we were that the last 8 minutes of the game last night. And if we do that the entire game, it's a totally different score. It's a totally different score. But we've got to understand that, and we've got to be able to play when we're tired. We just have to. It's a part of basketball. You have to be able to function when you're tired, play defense, play offense. We'll certainly get a player a rest when needed, but there are times where you have to play tired, and you have to get over that hump, get your brain out of the way, and make those plays. And we just have to continue to work on it.
Head coach of the Lady Huskies, Brian Watson, talking to me. Thanks so much for coming in, Coach.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW. After the break, head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Jordan Christensen, talking to us about his game today. Next on the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out with you on the Giant Sports Show this Saturday morning. Hanging out with us now is Jordan Christensen, the head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys. How you doing this week?
Good. It's been a busy past few days, and it's only getting busier. We've got today we've got a game, and then Monday we've got a game again. Two big 1A opponents coming in.
Talk about a quick turnaround for you, man. Thursday, Saturday, Monday. That's a lot of games.
Well, let's go back. It was Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. Since the WAP game, it'll be four games in about 7 or 8 days.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot for us.
That is a lot. Now, how do you deal with the rest and rehabilitation of some of these guys? Because you play like a 6-man rotation, 7-man rotation. Those guys got to be kind of feeling it.
They are. I mean, Landon and Cam are pretty banged up, and Riggs is a little bit banged up too, just coming back. He's got a couple of them have ankle issues, but they should be all right. But Wednesday we did absolutely just watch film and then shot a little bit. Wednesday after the Holly game, we were not going to get anything physical done because they needed a rest day, and it worked. They came out and played really well on Thursday against DGF. We just didn't rebound the ball well enough, and a couple stretches in the end of the first half and beginning of the second half really killed us. But I think Thursday night was our best game we played all year.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
And, I mean, DGF is top 10 in 2A, I'd say, or close to that.
They're no scrubs.
One loss.
Yeah.
They're a solid team.
They're a solid team. When you talk about rebounding, what is that? Size is that they're just bigger than us.
It's a little bit of that, but also when Landon Blafus and Alex Sanchez get two fouls, they are two best guys in the interior rebound, and that really hurt us down the stretch of the first half. And the last, I think we were up 9, and then the last 4 minutes of the first half, we ended up going down 1, and a lot of it was our own fault offensively too. We made a couple poor decisions with about under a minute left. Taking a shot and then throwing the ball into a spot it shouldn't have been in. And then all of a sudden, rather than up 3 or up 1, we're down 1 at half. And it's kind of a little bit demoralizing, but our kids just battle. They really do. For being a 2-win basketball team, these kids just play their tails off.
I was going to say, it sounds like every time we come in here, it's never like, well, we just gave up. We rolled over. You guys don't do that, which is good, which is, I think, what fans want to see, what parents want to see. And I think if you're a 7th or 8th grader thinking about playing basketball at Breckenridge, you're thinking, oh, that team fights hard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I know the 7th and 8th grade kids really well. I try to recruit the elementary school hard because we need numbers. Like, we're a smaller school now, and we need as many boys as we can play, or as many boys as we can get to play. And I try to get all those 3rd through 6th graders, but some of them are hockey and wrestlers, and go up to them, what do you do in the winter? They're like, well, I wrestle. I'm like, okay, all right, what do you do? Well, I don't do anything. All right, try basketball. Let's just give it a shot.
Look at you. You're building the numbers. That's the way to build a program.
Trying.
That's good. That's what I like to hear. That's like heartening. That should make Breckenridge fans like happy that, Coach Christensen's out here talking to these guys, trying to get the numbers up, because it is kind of tough when you have 7 or 6 guys, that are running through.
It is, and then it hurts your lower levels too. It's just one of those things. We're playing 7 or 8 on the JV and then 7 or 8 on the C squad, and today's going to be really nice. because then we can bring some of those JV kids down for a half a C squad that are eighth graders and freshmen playing JV. So that gives our C squad just a little bit more numbers. And then some of those kids can that are on the C squad can sit there on the bench if we need more numbers for the JV game. And it's all games are – so our C squad plays 11:45, JV plays at 1, and then varsity plays at 2:30. And I think it's going to be a fun day of basketball. I think our kids – we had a – I wouldn't say a great practice, but it was a good practice yesterday and got some stuff done that we needed to get done. And some guys – some guys got some rest, which was more beneficial, I think, than a whole lot of practice time for a couple of them. But I think it'll be fun today.
I think playing on Saturdays is just fun in general because a lot of these guys played football where it's like every Friday night you wake up Saturday morning kind of feeling a certain way. Some of these guys play baseball where you have tournaments on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. So I think that that Saturday vibe, just I remember when I was a kid playing on Saturdays, it just felt better. You know what I mean? Like we might lose our game on Tuesday night or whatever. Now we're playing Saturday morning. I just felt better, you know?
I think Saturday will be fun. They like the home games on Saturday a lot better than getting on the bus.
And
I don't blame them for that, but today should be a fun one. And I mean, we just got to be ready to play. Ada's a really good team, but we've proven we can play with anybody. I mean, you just have to do it for 36 minutes.
Tell me about him.
So Ada's got a guard. What is his name? He's number 3. Spath. I think his name's Cameron Spath, and he's a legit player. He's on like the Comets AAU team out of St. Cloud, and he plays a lot of basketball. He's kind of got the ball on a string, dribbling it, and he can shoot it. We have to do a good job of containing him and then close out to their shooters. They've got a lot of kids that can shoot around him, so that just opens up space for him. But it's going to be a lot about our recovery time. So when as soon as he picks up the ball, we're getting back to our man and ready to close out, because we've been working and working and working on that in practice. But it's starting to pay off. We're starting to figure it out.
Okay.
And by the time we hit March, we're going to be much better defensively than we've shown.
Well, it's just good. You know, I think as like a fan and just a guy that like is rooting for you, I like to see the incremental growth of this team. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of teams are already good teams that are trying to become great teams. It's harder to see that progress. But to see from a team that's like, you know, you came in this year being like, I had to recruit guys from football. I was just trying to get guys to play. To now, to this point, being like, well, the defense is kind of there, but we're making – I think that that's good. I think it's good to see growth from November.
And it is. We've really gotten a lot better. And the wins and losses might not show it. And I talked to our guys, like, we're so close. Once we start putting together full 36-minute games – we're going to be solid. We will be just fine. But it's this, there's a 4-minute stretch recently at the end of the first half and then a 4-minute stretch to start the end or the start of the second half. I mean, it hurt us in the WAP game. It hurt us against DGF. It hurt us against Holly. Like all three of those games, we were right there or leading at a certain point. And then all of a sudden halftime, we're down. And then the start of the second half, we just either don't defend or turn it over or just don't get shots to go down. And it's little stretches. And once we fix that and we get 36 minutes, I'm confident in these kids. Like, we'll be tough come section play.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. Head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Jordan Christensen, talking to me today. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I just want to shout out a couple things.
Okay.
First of all, our bus driver on Thursday night, it was not a fun bus ride home from Glendon. That was a little bit sketchy, and he did a great job. We passed a car that just had decided to stop along the side of the road because it was white out.
Oh,
and
man.
He just kept on going, and he'd get out every so often and clank the windshield wipers so they were good. It was a little bit sketchy. I hit a couple of my assistant coach Heideman, and I was like, look at this. Like, look at what we're driving through right now. And he did a great job, and he's taken us a couple of games where the weather's been bad, and he's just a good guy. Shout out to Henry. And then my assistant coaches, those guys work really, really hard. I think Coach Yeagy, Coach Heideman, and then my brother, Jonah, they're just always in the gym and a really good influence on these kids. And Coach Yeagy's at the gym right now, got it open for them shooting, and I'll head over there in a second. But I just wanted to shout those guys out because they do a lot of stuff that is not seen by the public in a lot of time. Like, they're not getting paid for their time very well, but they love doing it, and they're good guys to have around.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
And can't forget this. I got to mention these guys by name. We got Wyatt Rittenhouse, Colby Differding, Spencer Bozen, and then Goose. I'm not going to pronounce it and attempt his last name, but those guys are managers, and they're at everything. They're always there. Got to go get them some Oreos before the game today, like Big Mike did for the WAP ones. It's a good idea, but get those guys a little bit of airtime as they should have.
That's good stuff. Thanks for coming in, Coach.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to KBMW. That's going to do it for the Giants Sports Show. If you missed any of it, go to KBMWnews.com. And remember, every single weekend starting at 9 a.m., we break down the good, the bad, and the ugly of Twin Town Athletics. I'll talk to you guys next week.